Have missed being here the last few weeks. I know we had the gospel meeting, and before that I was out of town for two Sundays, so if I've forgotten your names, which I haven't, forgive me. Open your Bibles to the book of Ephesians, and we will continue where I left off the last time I was here. If you'll remember the Apostle Paul, we have been studying this book of Ephesians now. I believe this is the 18th lesson in the series. And we began in chapters 1, 2, and 3 where the Apostle Paul, he was teaching us very clearly and succinctly who we are in Christ Jesus. The Apostle Paul, he taught us that we are the saints in Christ. We are the chosen in Christ. We are the predestined people, predestined for adoption. We are the redeemed. We are God's inheritance, and we have been made alive from the dead. Then Paul began a new theme as we began chapter 4. And then that new theme, we are studying not who we are, but as Christians, how we must live, what our life is supposed to be like. If you look at chapter 4, there beginning at verse 1, the Apostle Paul says, "Therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with all long-suffering, bearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace." So remember, Paul, speaking to the saints, says that there was a time before Christ that you walked in the futility of your mind, in darkness, alienated from the life of God. But now, he says, you have heard him and have been taught by him to put off the old man and to put on the new man, which is created according to God in righteousness and holiness, verse 21 and 24. That means, church, that no more are we allowed, literally, to lie to one another or to our neighbor. We are no longer allowed to live lives with excused anger or to allow our anger or our wrath to control our lives. Now you must let the words of God that come out of your mouth be used to edify, to impart grace unto the hearer. That is the way in which we are to live. Paul in chapter 5 continued with that theme, how every saint in Christ must live. He says, "Therefore, be imitators of God, dear children, and walk in love as Christ has also loved us and given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God, a sweet-smelling savor." That's verse 1 and 2 in chapter 5. Christians, we must be imitators of God, imitators of Christ. The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 11 and 1 says, "Imitate me as I also imitate Christ." Walking in love as Christ walked in love. And listen to me. Listen carefully. When we talk about walking in love, it means much more than not hating. You know, you think love, the opposite of love, hate. It means so much more than that, because it also means that because I love God, because you love God, that we will refuse to do anything that offends our God. We will live lives according to His precepts, according to His instruction, His commands, and we will put away all those old things. And we will not live lives that violate His nature. No part in sexual immorality. We will have no part in impurities of the world. We'll have no part in greed, no part in uncontrolled anger, no part in idle talking. And let me be clear. We may be able to deceive ourselves in this. We may be able to deceive our friends. We may be able to put a facade on and be able to deceive people that we work with. We may be able to deceive one another, living in sin and pretending all along to be a Christian. You might be able to deceive mom. But I want you to know something. God knows. You cannot deceive God. You can't hide your true identity with God. And that's what Paul's teaching us. What is our true identity and how do we walk into that? You can't pretend and hide these things from God. God knows the hearts of all men, 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 39. He knows the hearts of all men. And He looks to the ends of the earth, the Scripture says, and He sees everything under the heavens, Job chapter 28, verse 24. So, beloved church, do not be deceived. The wrath of God comes upon all those who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. That's what Paul taught us in Romans chapter 1 and verse 18. The wrath of God comes upon all those who hold the truth in unrighteousness. And so don't be deceived. We need to live lives clearly according to the precepts of God, according to the character of God. And now the apostle impresses upon us, all the saints, the church, describing more of how we must imitate God, imitate Christ, imitate the apostles in truth, in love, offering ourselves as living lights. And that's the message today, living lights. He begins in the beginning by saying, therefore, do not be partakers with them. Partakers with who? People of this world who are of the world, people who walk in darkness, people who walk in the futility of their minds, people who live without God in their lives, alienated from the life of God. Pointing back to what we studied in our last lesson in chapter 4. We need to put off the old man. That's the one who's alienated from the life of God. And we need to put on the new man. And you know something here that Paul is not saying. Paul's not saying you can't have relationships with people of the world. He's not saying you can't have a meal with the people of the world. He's not saying you can't invite people of the world into your house. He's not saying that. He's not saying you can't have a relationship with the people in the world. He's not saying you can't go fishing with them. He's not saying you can't work with them. And we need to understand that. What he's really saying, steer clear of all the sinful things that they do. Be light. Don't join them in that. Don't participate with them in those things. If you have a friend that just loves to tell nasty jokes and watch filthy movies and say things that are just unseemly and ungodly, you try to instruct that friend. You be light. You avoid that sin, though, yourself. You don't partake in it. Church, we're in the world, right? But we're not of the world. Remember what Jesus said praying to His disciples. He says, I do not pray that you should take them out of the world. He's praying to the Father. But that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. My kingdom is not of this world, Jesus told the Jews and Pilate. If they were, they would have fought you. They'd pick up swords and fight in a physical sense. But my kingdom is a spiritual kingdom. It's not of this world. You who are in Christ, you who have obeyed the gospel, you who have been baptized into Christ, need to understand this. You're not in the world. And you can't act like the world. You can't participate with the world. I want you to remember that all these lessons, this epistle is all about transformation. All about who you are, who you were. You were lost in your sins, now you're walking in righteousness. You were dead spiritually, separated from God, and now you're with God. But God made you alive, Paul said, Ephesians 2, 1 and 5. He made you alive together with Christ, for by grace you have been saved. And now, transformed, as Paul wrote to the Romans, you must present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. No longer being conformed to this world, but being transformed by the renewing of your mind. To prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, or verse 2. To prove what's acceptable and perfect to God. This world that we live in is going to continue as it always has been. There's sin in the world. It's going to continue, and there's nothing you can do to change it. But you can change one soul. You can change one life. Maybe two, maybe three, maybe four, maybe 100, maybe 60. Who knows? But you can make changes in people's lives by being light. Brother Calvin brought that up in the lesson this morning. That we need to be light. We need to be examples. We need to live godly lives that other people can see that light. We need to be living lights. Following goodness. Through the example of Jesus Christ our Lord and the instructions of the Scriptures. And why? For one good reason. You notice in verses 8 through 10? Because it was commanded us. It was commanded. For you were once in dark. You were once darkness. Don't insert the word in. You were once darkness. But now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children in the light. That's a command. Make no mistake that Jesus was the first one to say that. Paul's just reiterating Jesus. Jesus said, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under the basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Let me tell you a story that Brother Brian told me privately. It's probably common. But he said there was a man that was a member of the church who actually worked for 50 years as a janitor or a custodian in a Baptist church. And he said this man, he did all the work that they asked him to do. He did a good day's work for a good day's pay. But while he was there, 50 years, he talked to elders, he talked to deacons, he talked to members for 50 years. And do you know that not one person ever obeyed the gospel? After 50 years of working, they gave him a plaque and a bunch of money. Had all good things to say. But he was a light to that group of people. And you know what they told him? They called him brother. And they said, brother, you've been brainwashed. That was their answer to his teaching the Bible. You've been brainwashed. We've been washed, but not brainwashed. We've been washed by the blood of Jesus Christ, by obeying Him in faith and truth. Listen. When you add two things together, do not be partakers at verse 7, and you are light in the Lord, verse 8. What that adds up to, it means don't join them. Be light and correct them. When they teach false doctrine, you don't join them, you correct them. When they start to tell you an unacceptable joke, somebody in the world, you don't join them, you be light, you stop them dead in their tracks and you correct them. Listen, not being a partaker means that when you invite to see or do, when you're invited to see and do something that's contrary to godliness, don't join them, be light, and then you go and you explain why you said no. You've been given a new identity in Christ Jesus. You are light. We need to learn it, and we need to live it. Now I want you to notice something in verse 8, which is really, really important. Paul does not say that you were in darkness. I almost made that mistake when I was reading it. Paul does not say you were in darkness. He wasn't saying you're in darkness like you in a dark room and you can just walk out. He said you are, you were darkness. You were alienated from God. You were walking in the futility of your mind. You were in your sins. But the blood of Jesus Christ removed the darkness from you and made you light. The blood of Jesus Christ washed you. It made you clean. It made you light in the Lord. And now you have a mission. Listen, church, you have a mission. Every single saint, everybody in the body of Christ has a mission. You're light. And Paul commands us to walk as children of the light. Look at verses 9 through 10 on the screen in your Bibles. Paul the Apostle, here he writes, "For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord." Now, you know, I want you to note something, and I'm going to put this up on the screen. And you don't have to be a theologian. You don't have to read Greek. You don't have to even be able to pronounce this. But those first three words, ha, gar, karpos, tau, and then the fourth one, photos. 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 Light. Photography. Light. That's the word for light. That's the word that's actually used in this text. Almost all the major translations today, except for King James and New King James, translate that as light. That word photos, which is spirit in the New King James and King James, isn't spirit. I've never understood this. You know, they put a little A up there and they tell you, go look down here to see what the word really means. Why don't they just put the word there? I don't know. You got to talk to the translators. I think they're all dead. But almost all the major translations use the word light. The Christian Standard Bible, "For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth." And listen, this changes the very meaning of that verse. The New Living Translation, "For the light within you produces only what is good, right, and true." And I really like that translation because that's exactly what he's saying. I understand that the Spirit is the light. I understand. But when you read it that way, the light that is within you produces only what is good, right, and true. It's the same word that Paul used in Romans 12:2 that we just quoted a little bit ago, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable perfect will. That word prove is the word that is being used. And that's the word finding. In your text there, and goodness and truth, finding out what is acceptable. That's the word that means to prove or to test. That's a word that Ferris says means to test, examine, prove, or scrutinize. Dokimazo. Paul uses that word. In 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, he tells us to test yourselves. Do you know yourselves that you are, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless you indeed are disqualified? It means to test yourself. Look at yourself in the mirror of the Word of God. Make sure that you're living the life that you have been called to live. You're saints, you're chosen, you're brought up from the dead, you're in Christ. Examine yourself. Make sure that every moment of every day of your life follows that pattern. And that you're not listening to something you shouldn't listen to without rebuke. That you're not watching something you shouldn't watch without guilt. Test yourselves. And my point is here that Paul, you know, when you see the righteousness and truth finding out, it talks about the fruit of the Spirit, and it's really the fruit of your light. He's not adding something to Galatians 5 and verse 22. Rather, he's teaching us that as light, A, we must prove by the Scripture that our light is not darkness, and B, that our light must be producing goodness, righteousness, and truth. That's what our light has to do. Our life must produce goodness, righteousness, and truth within ourselves and then within others. Goodness, not filthiness. Righteousness, not perversion, not corruption. Immorality, no. Morality. Truth, not lies. Not our opinions, not our feelings, not the way we think it ought to be, but rather being committed to the oracles of God, Romans 3, 2, and 1 Peter 4:11. Brethren, you're light. And we must walk then and do good and do right and walk in truth. Walking in the Word of God is what makes you right. Walking in the Word of God makes you light. Looking to the Word of God with a desire to please Him over and above all else is what shifts your desires, what motivates your heart away from impurity, away from wicked works, and away from evil behavior, to seeking Him and to turn your hearts away from sexual immorality, away from impurities, and to be like Him. I'm going to ask you to repeat something. You don't have to if you're uncomfortable, but I want you to repeat these words. I am light. I need to live as light. I am light. I need to live as light. I am light. I need to live as light. That's something that you could say every morning when you get up from the bed. When you see the light of day dawning, if you get up that late. I am light and I need to live as light. That way you'll make a difference in the world. So now look at verses 11 through 14 and see what we see here. He says, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things are exposed, that are exposed, are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. You walk into your home at night, on a dark, stormy night, all the lights are off, you can't see the furniture. You can't see the hallway. You can't see the walls. You can't see where rooms are. You can't see anything. You didn't see that thing that was left on the floor in front of you as you stumble over it and fall to the floor, which you can't see. But you turn on the light and everything's exposed. Everything is manifest. Everything is seen. Why? Because the light exposes darkness. It expels darkness. In the spiritual sense, your light must confront darkness, exposing error, exposing immorality, exposing all types of sin. Therefore, as dear children, that's what we must do. That's what your light needs to be. That's what you need to be. You know, that's exactly what Joshua, in his dying breath, really, told Israel God would do if they remain faithful. You know, Joshua chapter 23 and verse 5, Joshua says, "And the Lord your God will expel them, the enemies, from before you and drive them out of your sight, so you shall possess their land as the Lord your God promised." You know, Paul didn't say light blends in the darkness. It doesn't fit in with the darkness. You turn on the light, the darkness is gone. I went to a conference, and I actually talked to Ken Ham, who made the comment that a light bulb is nothing but a sucker. It sucks the darkness out of the room. Light doesn't exist with darkness. It expels it. It eliminates it. So we don't mingle with the light. You are light. And you expel, you expose the darkness. Rather, listen to Jesus who said, "Let your light shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your God in heaven." Show Christ to the darkness by your words, by your actions, by your lifestyle. Show Christ in your place of employment. Show Christ in your relationship with your wife. Show Christ in your relationship with your husband. Show Christ in your relationship with your children, in your relationship with your fathers, in relationship with your mothers, in relationship with your grandchildren. And when you're driving your car down the freeway, show Christ. Let your light be seen. All that darkness around you, beeping their horns, tailgating, flashing their lights, screaming and yelling profanities out the windows, just move out of the way. Drive the speed limit. Let them see your light. They may not recognize it as light, but God does. No beeping, no yelling, no raising of your fist. Everywhere you go, show Christ. Second point, and from verse 14, therefore he says, "Awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light." I think Paul's making a comparison here. In fact, I'll put it on the screen in case you don't have your Bible with you. But Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 19, Isaiah writes, "Your dead shall live together with my dead body. They shall arise. Awake and sing, you who dwell in the dust. For your dew is like the dew of the herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead." That's one verse. And then you go to Isaiah chapter 60, and verses 1 through 3. And he writes, "Arise, shine, for your light has come. The glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and the deep darkness the people. And deep darkness the people, but the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. The Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings of the brightness of your rising." Listen, there it is. Two verses. We need to be awaking up, arising from the dead, and letting the light and the glory of God be seen in us. The Gentile world is covered with darkness, and the people are in darkness. They're darkened, alienated, their understanding is darkened, they're futile in their thinking. But the light of the Lord in you, when you walk as living lights, they'll see. And listen, this is an invitation to everyone who hears. As the Lord's light shines to you, you bless others who are still in darkness with your light. That's why Jesus said, "You are the light of the world. It's the only time he said, I am the light of the world. He said, I'm the good shepherd. He didn't say, you're the good shepherd. He said, I am the bread of life. He didn't say, you're the bread of life. He said, I am the light of the world. And then he says, now you're the light of the world. We need to remember that. So if Paul says, awake and sleep, arise from the dead, Christ will give you light. Wake up. Recognize the darkness. Rise up from that spiritual darkness to the light. And more to the point, it's a call to repentance. Do you have some of those things going on in your life? Are you able to stand and listen to some perverted joke and not rebuke that person? Is your light not seen by the world? When somebody invites you to go or do something that isn't quite right, do they not know you're a Christian? I've told this story more than once. Brother Andy and I went golfing together, and we teamed up with two men that we didn't know. And the one man hit a really foul shot, and he cussed and scourged and screamed and all kinds of profanity, cursed God. And the man that I was sitting with said, so what kind of work do you do? I said, I'm a preacher. And then he yelled to the other guy, Jack, stop that kind of language. This guy's a preacher. Doesn't matter. But it made a difference. For the rest of that course, I didn't have to listen to that kind of language. Let his light change your ways. And let Christ shine on you, in you, and through you. If you were darkness again, it's because of a choice that you made. Listen to me. If you are darkness again, it's because of a choice you made in your life. So remember Joshua's word. If it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You make that choice. It's your decision. Being in darkness or being in light is a choice. Paul told the Philippian saints that you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. You may do that. Among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life. That's what you can do. Philippians chapter 2, verse 15 and following. You can do that. Finally, the apostle summarizes in the last three verses. He says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Walk circumspectly is to walk carefully. That's what that word means. To be mindful of every step you take, every word that comes out of your mouth, every action of your life and your hands, whatever you do, walk circumspectly. Be careful. Be mindful that it is light. It means to walk with a discerning mind. Solomon in Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 21 said, foolishness brings joy to one without sense. But a person with understanding walks a straight path. Discerning where you take your feet and where they go so that you're not stumbling all the time over yourself. Walking that pathway of duty, walking that pathway of light. Remember Psalm 105 or 119, 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Paul says then to redeem the time. And you know what that means very simply? Redeeming the time means don't waste the precious time that God has given you. God allowed you to wake up this morning. Don't waste the time. God allowed you to come to worship today. Don't waste the time. Lord willing, will allow us to get home safe tonight. But when we're home, don't waste the time. You spend most of your time doing things that are important. You spend most of your time doing things that are good for the kingdom of God in Christ. The most of your time in hope of eternal life. That's what we need to be doing. Listen, if I could relate physical things with this time, there was a time when our grandparents and our parents even would save every single thing they had. They didn't waste anything. I remember my mother, you eat that food, there are people starving, don't waste the food. Don't throw that away, fix it. And don't pass those clothing, don't throw that clothing away, pass it down to your siblings. Their shoes, everything. They save things for the future. Today we throw things away that they would die for. The things that they would feel great need for, we just throw it away. That's wasting things. And if we don't redeem the time, that means that we're squandering precious time that God has blessed us with. Precious time that we should be using for more important spiritual things. There's nothing wrong. I love to golf. I go golfing. I love to fish. I go fishing. There's nothing wrong with that, but I don't make that my life. We can enjoy things of the world, but don't waste precious time. When you go golfing, let it be known. Let your light be seen. When you go fishing, let your light be seen. When you drive your car, let your light be seen. When you meet a stranger, let your light be seen. At verse 17, Paul exhorts walking in the light, walking in wisdom. They're symbiotic. That is that they're very close, they're cooperative, they're interdependent on their relationship. Understanding what the wisdom of God is light. And we are to be light. Burning bright in this world. In the darkness. So that we can expose the darkness. That others can see that error and they can come into the light. Psalm 18. We'll close with this psalm. Psalm 18, verse 28. Yeah, 28 through 30. Listen to these words. For you, capital Y, will light my lamp. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. For by you, capital Y, I can run against a troop. By my God, I can leap over a wall. For as for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven, and He is a shield to those who trust Him. God can make you able to do all things. Nothing's impossible with God. Let your light shine. If you're a member of the church here today and your light has been dimmed, make it right today. Repent as you should and be right with God. If you're not a member of the church, if you have not obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ and believing that Jesus is the Christ, repenting of your sins, confessing Jesus Christ before men and being baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sin and to be added to the body of Christ, you can do that today. You can become a light walking out of your darkness. Whatever need you have, please come forward today as we stand and as we sing.